Take out your Bibles and turn back to the book of Matthew, Matthew 18, really part two of last week. Don't really call it that, but that's what it is, part two of our topic on reconciliation. Been studying, of course, ahead. I don't do these Sunday morning generally, and I've been in Matthew 23. And just reminded of the importance of a genuine life in Christ, as we were just singing. And if you sang those words, you asked God this morning to be the only one on the throne of your heart. Is that true for you this morning? Wow, how important is that? And that was exactly the issue that the Pharisees had blown it on. As we'll see in a few weeks, just a little bit of, a be here in a few weeks for Matthew 23 promotion this morning. Matthew 18, true forgiveness. In light of the things that we heard last week about reconciliation and dealing with problems and going to your brother when there's sin either in your life or in their life, we continue this Jesus teaching on reconciliation now with the other side of the coin, and that is true forgiveness. And boy, you know, if you think about life, life is full of problems, just like we talked about last week. Well, when you live in a sin-cursed world with other sinners and there's problems that happen, and then you go to that person and say, hey, brother or sister, you've sinned against me, then they say, yeah, all right, I agree, I repent. You have to forgive them. There's two sides of that same coin, isn't there? It's not that we're just going around pointing out sin in people's lives and then just leaving it there. But we have to, when there is repentance, we have to give, we have to extend forgiveness God's way. And why do we have so many troubles in life? Why are there so many problems? Why is life full of problems? People are not dealing with problems. Can I get an amen on that? Come stay with me for a week. People are not dealing with problems. Secondly, why else? People are not forgiving each other, right? Okay? Has there ever been a time in your life when you haven't forgiven someone when you should have? Yeah, everyone should be nodding, right? I don't want to be preaching to a bunch of liars this morning. That's the problem. We are not dealing with problems. We are not extending forgiveness when we are called to. Not God's way, not every time. If we can start to get this, life becomes much easier, nicer, and sweeter to live. Why? Because life God's way. God has spoken. God has told us. And so it's just our responsibility now to live His way. Let's go ahead and read it. We're going to start in verse 21, just a very short passage, 21 down to 35. Remember the context. Remember what we talked about last week, Matthew 18, 1 to 20, on going to your brother. Then Peter came to him and said, and so Peter has a question. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay his master. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children, all he had, and that payment be made. A servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servants fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. But he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers till he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Let's pray together. Lord God, our Father, we again thank you for this clear teaching from your word, God. And it certainly is our hope today that it's not just my opinion or some person's opinion that we need to reconcile and be a people that are forgiving people. But we just want to see what you say, God, and do that. And I pray, God, today as we look into this, that you would really bring conviction and actual repentance into our own hearts as we live. If we have any memory that we have not forgiven, or we have an unforgiving attitude or just a hard-heartedness, God, towards true reconciliation, or even a pattern, God, of broken relationships, that would be taken care of, God, today or this week or as soon as possible, God, to get right with you. Lord, as we look into this today again, I just pray, God, that we wouldn't be thinking of other people that need to do this or whatever, but this would be a personal time of reflection, and where, God, you would be pointing out areas in our own lives where we need to change and be more like Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, so you notice that Peter has a question, and really he's kind of speaking for the disciples there, isn't he? And he says, all right, tell us about forgiveness. I have a question here. And you just love Peter's zeal there, don't you? He's like, because you can just see it, can't you? Here we are, and Jesus is teaching, and probably like very often with disciples, they're probably like, oh, man, oh, darn it. I've been blowing that one, right? And he says, all right, now go to your brother when they sin. You got to take care of problems. You got to go deal with it. And if he repents, you forgive him. And so they caught that, right? The one from back in 1815, they caught it. Okay, if he repents, you've gained your brother. So they got it, okay. So then Peter's like, all right, I'm remembering a few people in my life. And then, I have a question. How many times do I got to do this? I mean, this is difficult, right? I mean, how about 7 times? I'll put a nice number on it. 7, I think I could probably do that. And Peter, he's like being super spiritual there, because the Pharisees, they said 3. So I'm sure he was probably trying to impress Jesus. Hey, I know, I'll more than double the Pharisees. Hey, Jesus, I'll do it 7 times. Is that good? He's like, no. Nope. 7 times 70. And what he meant by that was, there's no limit. There's no limit, Peter. You go and you go to your brother, and if he repents, you forgive him. Every single time, no matter how many times in one day your brother sins against you, you keep going back and you keep dealing with your problems, keep forgiving them. Question I would pose at that point, or one that came to my mind, was something that they had already been taught from Matthew 7:12, and that is, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister when they ask for it? And the question is, how many times do you want to be forgiven? How many times do you want forgiveness extended to you when you've blown it? Matthew 7:12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, you also do to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And we remember from Matthew 5 that we're going to look at here, that not only does he say what you want men to do to you, you do, but he says, as you want God to forgive you, you forgive. That ramps it up even another notch, where we need to really take this thing seriously. Now, we're going to look at this because the whole point of this passage is the parable of the wicked servant. So we're going to take a little bit of time on that, and then we're going to talk about some practical stuff of forgiveness. But let's look at that parable again. We're going to read it again, and then we're going to break it down a little bit to help us understand a couple of things that are going on there. Parable of wicked servant in verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children, all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took hold of him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. But he would not, but went and threw him into prison, he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, came and told their master all that had been done. His master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry, delivered him to the torturers that he should pay all was due to him. Okay, so that's the parable that we're working off of today. That's the main chunk of everything that's said here in this passage that we're looking at. There's a couple things that you need to know and we can consider as we do this. First of all, verse 24, the first servant, we're calling him the wicked servant because the master calls him that, right? You wicked servant. He owed 10,000 talents. Now, 7 times 70, it's just there's no limit. 10,000 talents was like, of course, 10,000 was the highest Greek number. And so it was like saying a gazillion, all right? It's just an inconceivable amount of money, all right? In the Roman Empire, the provinces in the Roman Empire of Idumea, Judea, Samaria, and Galilee for 11 years was about 10,000 talents. All right? Think about that. Judea, Samaria, Idumea, and Galilee for 11 years. Okay. So the guy falls down at his feet and he says, I'll pay. Yeah, right. Where are you going to get that kind of money? There's no way the guy was going to be able to pay that. It was an incalculable amount of money. There was no way. Right? They didn't have the lotto then, so he couldn't say, maybe I'll win the lotto. I got some scratch tickets at home or whatever. He just couldn't pay it. Okay, that's the point. There's an unpayable debt that this guy has. So what's his response? Please forgive me. There's nothing I can do. And think about it. I love the king, too, because he's like, sell them all and let the debt be paid. You know, how much would they even get out of them? Not much, right? It's not even going to come close to paying their debt when they sell them all, okay? And so the guy falls down. And he's like, please forgive me, please forgive me. And the king's like, all right, I forgive you. The debt's wiped off. It's done. It's gone. It's paid for. Why? Because the guy was so good, right? No. The king had mercy and forgave the guy. He asked for forgiveness. The king had mercy and forgave the guy. The guy did nothing but ask. And so here this king comes, a great king. Who's a great king? Duh, it's God, right? Okay, and so the great king forgives this guy. Now, the next guy, the same guy goes, and he's owed some money. And so the servant, his fellow servant comes, and he says, and this wicked servant goes, grabs him by the throat, starts choking him. Pay me the 100 denarii you owe me. Pay me the 100 denarii you owe me. Now, don't miss this. Because you might think, well, this guy, he didn't owe hardly nothing, and it was no big deal. He should have just forgiven him. No. It was about a third of a year's wages for a day laborer. So it was a pretty good chunk of change, all right? It was going to sting this guy to have to forgive this debt, all right? It would have been a little bit painful, all right? So the point is not, it's, forgiveness is easy, just do it, and there's nothing that you have to worry about, it doesn't hurt. No, the point is, it's going to sting a little bit. Do it anyway. Remember how much you've been forgiven. Isn't that the point? If you've ever been hurt and wronged and sinned against, it's painful to have to forgive them. And your flesh wars against you. But you do it anyway. God has forgiven you of a much more incalculable amount. A debt that you could never have paid. You need to remember that and forgive. Even when it hurts. But this guy, he forgot everything that his great king had done for him. And he was choking him. You pay me. Pay me. How stupid is this guy when he's holding on to this little tiny thing that he's owed and he's so angry about it, and just moments before he has been forgiven everything, something he could never have paid back. 100 denarii, both pleaded for mercy, said almost exactly the same things. But the wicked servant forgot what the great king had done for him. So that's a key principle for us. Remember how much you have been forgiven. as you're thinking about the wrongs that you have suffered, as you're thinking about the things that have happened to you by unbelievers and by other believers or people that are calling on the name of Christ, as you're thinking about the hurts in your life and the things that have happened, as you're thinking about all of that weight of pain, and then yet that one person comes and repents and asks for your forgiveness, and you hold on to that attitude, "I will not forgive." You have forgotten what you've been forgiven of. You've got to remember that. It's one of the main points of this whole thing, the point of the parable. James 2:13, mercy, judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Wow. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, or with understanding. And the point is, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Think about this. And when Jesus says, you're not going to be forgiven, in verse 18, my heavenly Father will do for you from each, if you from your heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses, you know, and we want to say, well, yeah, but, the grace of God, and yeah, but, and I want to say to you this morning, what does Jesus say? What does he say? If you don't forgive, God is not going to forgive you. He says it. All right? We can spin it however we want to. But what does God say? We need to really take this seriously and think about that. And especially if you've had this sort of bitter, unforgiving kind of attitude in your life. Wow. Let God get in there and chip away at some of that this morning. Matthew 6, 9 to 15, the Lord's Prayer. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's saying, God, when we pray, we should be saying, God, you are the great king. You are on the throne in my life. Your will be done. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. God, I am under your authority. Give us this day our daily bread. I need everything in this life. It comes from you and I need you. Then what's he saying in the very next verse? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God, just like I forgive everyone, forgive me. That's how Jesus tells us to pray. God, just in the way that I have forgiven people today, and he doesn't say, if I've forgiven people, but just as I have, forgive me that way. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And then Jesus wraps it up by telling us, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Don't spin that. Just read it. This is serious, isn't it? This is like life and death stuff. It's not okay to have an unforgiving attitude. And I want to call this morning forgiveness for the church the gospel imperative. It is the gospel imperative. That means it is a command from our Lord, and it is a command because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must forgive others. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. So the same way that Christ has forgiven us, we have to forgive others. Luke 17:3 to 4. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. In other words, you should be ready to forgive at all times. Ready for that brother or sister to come to you and ask for forgiveness, and then you just repent, or you just forgive them the way God forgives you. It's a gospel imperative. That's the main point of this passage today. You get nothing else from this and the methods of forgiveness that I'm going to talk about and all that stuff. Get this. You have been forgiven. If you are in Christ, if you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ and become his child, you have been forgiven of an incalculable amount. There was no way that you could have been right with God on your own. There was nothing you could have done. And even if you die in your sins and you go to hell for it, it isn't going to pay your debt. All right? It's just like the guys that were going to get sold. into slavery. That wouldn't even have scratched the surface of their debt. Okay? There's nothing you can do. And Christ comes and He pays your penalty. And then when you place your trust in Him, it's free. You're free. It's cleared. It's gone. And then what do? We go and we hold these little tiny offenses against each other and we hurt each other with them. They hurt me, I'm going to hurt them. They beat me, I'm going to beat back. I'm going to grab them by the throat and make them know that they owe me. It's the main point. We have to forgive the way Jesus Christ forgives. It is the gospel imperative. It's not okay to live as a bitter, unforgiving Christian. It's not okay. It's a gospel imperative. Now, you're in good company if that scares you. The very next verse in Luke 17, the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, my translation or my interpretation of that is, I don't want to do that. All right? I think that's really what they were saying. Because Jesus follows up, and we're going to look at it here in a little bit by saying, if you have enough faith as a mustard seed, you're going to say to this mountain, be uprooted and thrown into the sea. And what he meant by that is, just do it. All right? You can do it. It's a choice. Just do it. It's a command. I don't have enough faith. No, you don't want to. If you have enough faith as a mustard seed, you'll be able to do this thing that I tell you to do. Now, some of the problems that, why there's such fear or whatever maybe you're experiencing or even just thinking about the seriousness of this, because there's a lot of common misunderstandings about forgiveness. And people live these out, and that is a lot of the problem here. And we're gonna look at the practical aspects of some of this and just talk about some things that forgiveness is not, and so then exactly what forgiveness is. And I think that'll help us, that'll clarify some things. First of all, forgiveness is not saying that the sin was okay. All right? And that's a big part of our problem. Well, if I forgive them, then I'm saying that the way that they hurt me is okay. Well, no, that's not true. Sometimes when we say that, that's a straw man for not wanting to forgive. But get this, it's not saying that the sin was okay. So when you forgive someone, it's not that you're rubber stamping their sin. In fact, it's the opposite. Okay? And so there's a couple practical things for us there. When someone says, please forgive me, you should never say, oh, that was okay. Oh, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. That's a lie. It was a big deal. It hurt. You should never do that. You don't want to rubber stamp someone's sin. Don't worry, I didn't even notice when you were stewing on it, you know, for a month. And you know. No, it's not okay. And that is not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not saying that it's okay. It causes pain and hurt, separation, sin is death. It's never okay. Next, it's not forgetting about the sin. We'll talk about this a little more in a little bit here, but you may have heard the very unbiblical phrase, you have to forgive and forget. I'd like to know who has ever done that. You can't. You can't just forget. You can't will yourself to forget. That is not what this is. It's not forgiving and forgetting. We'll talk about that and when we talk about what it is. And sometimes another straw man will be like, I can't forget about it, so I won't forgive. Because forgiveness is forgiving and forgetting. I can't, so I won't. All right? That's a straw man. That's a bunch of bull. That's going to be honest with you this morning. All right? And then what you're really saying is, I'll forgive, or I'll pretend I'm forgiving, but I'll never forget. You get that? Think about that. I'll say I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to let it go. I got it back in the back of my mind in case I need it. Okay, that's not forgiveness. Secondly, not a feeling. You will rarely feel like extending forgiveness. Can I get an amen on that? Oh, man. I just be honest with you, I never feel like extending forgiveness. And if you're going to wait around until you feel like extending forgiveness, forget about it. All you're going to do is get more and more bitter. It's just going to sink down into your gullet, and you're going to get more and more bitter, and you will never feel like extending forgiveness. So it's not a feeling. It is a command. Jesus tells us in so many different passages, do it, forgive. And did you get it when we were reading these several from these teachings of Jesus this morning? He never says, if you guys feel like doing this, it would probably really help you out. No, he says, do it, forgive them. If they come to you, you forgive them over and over and over again. And it's not anything to do with your feelings. It's not, and just say it. I don't really care if you feel like forgiving someone, because I think that's just what Jesus is telling us. Who cares what you feel like? Do it. It's a command. Forgive them. And now you might even be thinking, we like our things that we throw up there to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. And you might say, what do you want me to do? Be a hypocrite? You want me to be a hypocrite? I'm going to say I forgive them. I don't feel like it. No. Don't be a hypocrite. Be obedient. Don't be a hypocrite. You don't say you feel like forgiving them. Just say, you know what? I forgive you. And live it out. Do it. Do what God commands. Be obedient. It's a command. It's not a feeling. It's not feeling-based. And if you try to live by your feelings, you're not going to get it done. Well, I'm going to turn over to Luke 17, this sort of closely paralleled passage, as we see the second part of that story where Jesus is teaching on forgiveness and they said they don't want to do it. Jesus has an answer for them. Surprise. If you have faith as a mustard seed, in 17:6, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And now look what he says. And which one of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. What's he saying there? Forgive your brother. Why? It's a command. You do it. Quit whining about it. If you have a slave, you tell them to come in and do their job, and then they can eat when they're all done, right? And God tells us very clearly, you get after this thing. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's going to sting, but you just have to do it. It's what you're a servant of God. It's what you're called to do. Next, it's not a punishment. God is not punishing you for having to forgive them, and it is not you extending or enacting punishment on a person as you forgive them. Okay, so your forgiveness just needs to be pure. When someone asks, you forgive them. You don't try to sting them a little on the way out, right? And think about this with me. Parents, if you're here, if you parented, I want you to think about this statement right here. You go to your brother and you ask him for forgiveness. It's part of their punishment, isn't it? This is part of your punishment to have to do this. Well, no. You got to avoid that. All right? We want it to walk through it, and it's a beautiful thing to extend and receive forgiveness. It's God's will for us. It's not a punishment, and it should never be, as parenting, part of the punishment. You're gonna ask for forgiveness because of this. Well, then what do? Then you grow up. Oh man, it's a punishment. Well, that's not true. It's just God's will for us. Next, it's not a Band-Aid. Forgiveness is not a Band-Aid. A lot of times we live out, well, God tells me to go to my brother. And then the other one, God tells me to ask for forgiveness, so I'll do it. And so you go, will you forgive me? Yes. Okay, I forgive you. That's a Band-Aid. All right? That is not true forgiveness. True forgiveness is real. Real repentance, real forgiveness, real reconciliation, real restoration. And if you're going through the motions and if you're saying the words, but your heart ain't in it, it's not forgiveness. All right? Next, it's not unconditional. Wow. This is one that's going to get a few people excited. I've read quite a few different articles on this recently, and there are whole trains of thought on it being unconditional. You may have gotten that view from certainly like newscasts and things where someone does a horrible thing and some family comes along and says, you know what, I forgive that person. I forgive that person. Well, that's not biblical forgiveness. Forgiveness is not unconditional. And we're going to look at this. And if you're thinking a little bit about what we've read, you're already noticing that. OK, Okay? If your brother comes to you and repents and says, forgive me, then you shall forgive him, right? Okay, true forgiveness cannot happen without repentance. True forgiveness. You cannot extend biblical forgiveness to someone that has not biblically repented to you, or truly repented to you. Otherwise, it's just not biblical forgiveness. Now, you may first of all be thinking that that creates a problem because there are some people who will never, ever ask for your forgiveness in your life. And we are going to have to deal with that and live that way in this world where there are going to be people who sin against you, some very significantly, and they will never. In fact, some will hard-heartedly refuse that they even ever did anything wrong. What do you do? Well, there's a couple things you can do. One is, in every situation in your life, whether the person is going to be hard-heartedly resistant or whether you're going to reconcile with them, you need to come with the attitude that you are ready to forgive. And that's God's attitude. God, full of mercy, ready to forgive. Okay, now, if the Scriptures tell us that God is ready to forgive all that come to Him, why do we think that we can just blanket say that we forgive people? When God doesn't blanket say that He forgives everyone, every unrepentant person that's ever been. But we have God's attitude about this thing, and we have this open heart ready, just like God is, just with arms wide open. If you will just recognize the things that you have done that are wrong and sinful, I will forgive you immediately. And so when you have this, especially when you have a hard-hearted person who you realize will never ask for your forgiveness, you just need to be ready to forgive. And don't sit there and stew on it. And don't let it eat away at you. And don't dwell on it and add sin to sin or become sinfully angry or bitter over it. But rather say, you know what? That person is under condemnation from a righteous God, and I am totally ready to forgive. They're in God's hands. I'm going to leave them there. Ready to forgive. But you can't go and extend unconditional forgiveness in that situation or circumstance. Now, just think about that with me. Logically, let's say you have some nasty, hard-hearted murderer and he kills half your family and you just say, I forgive you. And he says, puh, for what? I didn't do anything. How is that real forgiveness? It's not. He isn't even admitting that he did anything wrong. And so it's the same way. You can be ready to forgive. But with God, forgiveness is always conditional on repentance. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say that God just blanket unconditionally forgives us our sins without us acknowledging them. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we love this one, right? And people want to use it of America all the time. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive them their sin and heal their land. We think, this is so cool, let's talk about America. Well, wait a minute. Let's look at what it really says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Okay? Who's that today? That's you. Okay, if you will humble yourself and repent, then God will forgive. That is a testimony, that is a commentary on the Old Testament. All through Judges, what happens? The people sin. What happens? They finally break down and repent. What does God do? Restores them. All through the kings of Judah. And that king did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he put away all the altars, and what did God do? Blessed them. Why? They repented. Now, let me ask you a question. How come the nation of Israel is not the number one superpower in the world right now, totally dominating everyone with people everywhere? Because God does not forgive unconditionally. They have rejected Him, right? And so a rejection of God comes with Him not blessing them, not blanket unconditionally just forgiving them for every nasty thing they've done and hating Him and putting up idols and living for themselves. It's just the same in the Christian life. Why do we think that we can be, I am a follower of Jesus Christ with an ungodly life, but God has to bless me and I am never going to repent of the sins in my life? No, Forgiveness is not unconditional. We have to repent. And so when we extend forgiveness in an unconditional way, it's not dealing with sin God's way. We'll talk about that as we wrap up here. What forgiveness is, we got to go real quickly through these. First of all, it's a choice. Just as forgiveness is not a feeling, it is a choice. You can choose to forgive when you don't want to. Secondly, forgiveness is a transaction. It's an exchange. We talked about some of these last week. Repentance must come first, and repentance involves calling sin, sin, agreeing with God about it, and turning from sin to God, which seeks restoration. And here's some practical things. You go to your brother or sister and you say, I have sinned against God and you. Here is how. And then you add to that, I understand and accept that I have hurt you in this, and here's how. Then you have to say the words, please forgive me. Please forgive me. That's your half of the transaction. Please forgive me. And then that ball goes into their tennis court, and they need to say, thank you so much for coming to me with that. Our relationship has been broken, but it's restored. I forgive you. That's their side. And so things like, I'm sorry, are totally inappropriate. I'm sorry. I sinned against you. I'm sorry. No, that's not it. The other person then needs to accept, and then the transaction is completed. Forgiveness is also a contract. It involves at least three things. I will not hold this matter against you. In other words, keep throwing it up in your face. I will not discuss this matter with others. I won't gossip about it, tell other people, and not even by a prayer request. Well, please pray for so-and-so. They sinned against me. That's gossip. Third, I won't dwell on it myself. I won't self-gossip. I won't internalize it and mull it over. And this is that whole I'll forgive, but I'll never forget thing. Well, I've forgiven them, the Band-Aid, but I'm going to mull it over and dwell on it. I'm going to let it eat me up inside. I'm never going to forget. God, on the other hand, remembers to forget. He says he puts our sin away from us as far as the east is from the west. They will never meet again. And so he doesn't bring it up. He doesn't mull on it. He doesn't hold it against us. Do you see that? How many times in life have we went through the steps and said, I forgive you, and then a month later the same thing happens, and Jesus says, infinite amount of times in one day, but a month later, and we say, you know, this is exactly what you always do. You're doing it again. Have you really forgiven the way God forgives you? I would say no, of course not. Let's look at the evidence. You're holding it up against them again for their hurt. And that's part of the contract is I won't do that, but I will remember to forget. Forgiveness, fourth, is real reconciliation. So there is no longer a division. The problem is gone. It's fixed. You're together again. It's restoration. The relationship is back to where it was, but even closer now, better. You've done hard things together, and God is knitting you together in a closer way. And don't do the Band-Aid thing and say, we've went through the process and we're done. I'll be civil. And I'll pretend like it's okay because I'm supposed to, and I'll smile, but I'll hate him in my heart. That is not true restoration, and that is not real forgiveness. Restoration means that everything is fixed, and you're not holding the offense against them again. And there's going to be some time probably before you're going to feel like loving that person, having the same relationship with them, but your feelings are not the most important thing. You have to just be obedient and do what God says and let... Let the feeling part of it come. Forgiveness is a conscious choice. Lastly, forgiveness is a relationship builder. Relationships, your personal relationships will be stronger as a result of living God's way. And please hear me on this. If you continue to go through life in one of these two ways, either never dealing with problems and just pretending that it's going to go sweep under the rug, well, the rug always comes off every once in a while, right? Or if you're going to live either by the Band-Aid method or just in blatant unforgiveness, your life is going to be miserable because it is not life God's way. But as you practice and do hard things life God's way and go to your brother or sister, go to your husband, go to your wife, go to the person at your work, go to whatever, other believers in your life, and you go to them when there's been a clear offense, and you work it out, and they repent, you forgive them, your relationships grow closer and closer together, and it gets easier. It really does. And life is so much sweeter. So much sweeter. God's way. Why would we ever think it would be any other way? So for application, forgive. Be a forgiving people. Deal today with any bitterness or unforgiveness in your life right now. If you are just looking at what Jesus says and you're saying, I have a bitter, unforgiving heart, and there is this person and that person and that person, and I have never forgiven them, you need to deal with that. You need to get those right. Reconcile any of those problems today. Ephesians 4, 26 through 27 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. And so he gives us the gospel imperative, be angry and do not sin, which means take the opportunity, instead of using it for sinful anger, but to solve problems. That's the go to your brother part. And then forgive them, because when you're bitter, when the sun goes down on your wrath and you stew on it for a day, what happens? You've become a tool of Satan. You have given the devil a foothold in your life. And all that's going to do is create more and more bitterness and more hardness. So be a forgiving people. Deal with it today. Secondly, daily review the grace that God has showered on you. Remember the debt that God has forgiven you of. Man, if every one of us would just get up in the morning and just meditate on the sheer weight of our own sin. I mean, if you just are honest with yourself and get to the end of the week and write out every time you sinned against a holy God in 1 week, and then just look at that. It's probably going to be a little bit convicting, and it's also going to make us say, the petty, stupid stuff that I get so mad at the people in my life about, it doesn't even compare to 1 week of my sin. Remember the amounts of grace that God has showered on you. God is so merciful and gracious. You could have never paid that back. And he just forgave you. You are forgiven. It's gone. And then we want to grab each other by the throat over those stupid little things because I'm hurt and I'm offended and I don't want to forgive you. You wicked servant, Jesus says. Man, we need to get this. Review the grace that God has showered on you every day. Think about it. It's awesome. And then third, live it out. Live as a grace giver. We all love being grace receivers. We need to be grace givers. Be gracious with one another. And just think about how difficult it is when someone comes to you and repents. You know, when someone has just missed it and blown it and hurt you and you want to hurt them back, but you think about it a second. They came to you and asked for forgiveness. That was hard. Be gracious. And say, you know what? Thank you. I know that was hard. I forgive you. That was hurtful. Our relationship was broken, and now it is fixed. Thank you. And receive them. Be a grace giver. That life is a life of joy. It is a life of just real joy and the only life that is pleasing to God. Let's pray together. Lord God, our Father, again, thank you for this passage. God, every one of us here lives in a sin-cursed world, and every one of us here has sinned significantly in our relationships. God, I just pray for us that we would take your call to us seriously, and not in a way that sort of overwhelms us with the weight of our own inadequacies and sins, but in a way that rejoices in the amazing amount of your grace. God, as we even do any accounting on our lives, we can see that the debt that we had before you is off the charts, unpayable. You are so gracious, God, that when we confess, when we ask, you just forgive every time. You are an awesome and gracious God. Lord God, as your people, we pray today that your heart would be our heart. That God, your desires would be our desires. And that God, as we live together, that we would be as gracious as Jesus Christ every day with every person in our lives. And that God, your joy would consume and fill us. And God, the sweetness of the relationships that we experience would flow out of us into the lives of everyone around us to see that life your way is truly superior. That's our prayer today in Jesus' name.